Welcome to Chronic Combat Conversations. This is a live look at our best bets and some predictions for every UFC event. And here we are live for the second time. We got TV Scouting MMA and
Guru Scouting MMA back once again for UFC Vegas 38, also known as UFC on ESPN Plus 51. Or UFC Fight Night 193, Santos versus Walker. I can't wait for this one. This is about to be, for as long as it lasts anyway, it's going to be an exciting fight.
Yeah, I mean, come on, you just take a sneak peek. You got 21-9 versus 18-5. Walker is huge, and he's such a special athlete. People were talking about like him and John Jones like being comparable at one point when he was first coming up. Like, so just to give you an idea, and Santos, he's been in there fighting for the title with John Bone Jones. So this is definitely going to be a great fight to flesh out the light heavyweight division. I'm so excited to break down what some of our best bets are.
Yeah, and you got the co-main event with the return of Kevin Holland, who's lost 10 straight rounds to the likes of Derek Brunson and Marvin Vettori, facing off against Kyle Daukaus, the brother of Chris Daukaus, is 1-2 in the UFC so far, Kyle?
Yeah, he his only win over Dustin Stolzius. So it's like, you know, he's doing his best out there, but he's put on some solid performances overall
against tough competition.
So I would definitely agree.
So let's without further ado, let's get into some plays, because I know everybody missed us since unfortunately we were unable to get on air for 266.
Yeah, it was definitely a bummer. A lot of, you know, behind the scenes stuff coming up, and hey, I'm happy to be back. And if you guys were following us, you know, on our social media, me at TB Scouting MMA, and then you got at Guru Scouting MMA. If you follow us at Chronic Combat on Twitter and at Chronic Combat Conversations on Instagram, and if you check us out on Bet MMA at Chronic Combat, you
all can find all in our link tree.
All in our link tree.
Yeah, it's all condensed, but you can look there for all our bets, because we made sure to put our plays out Saturday morning. I know that's a little short notice. Again, we had to do a lot of conversating, but we were able to get our plays out. We actually had one of our best weeks. So we hope that you some way cashed on that with us.
Yeah. So like we said, we got a, you know, probably a little bit of a step down from UFC 266 here, obviously.
A little bit.
Yeah, I mean, really, in the Alejandro Perez versus Johnny Eduardo fight, do you have a play here? I mean, I know I personally don't.
I didn't have a super strong play, but I did lean with the Perez side, and I felt that even though they both have a decently long layoff, I felt that Perez with the more technical boxing should actually be able to put down Eduardo. So I like Perez by KO or sub at plus 120. Some books should offer you that double chance. I looked at that on FanDuel.
Yeah, I mean, if I was going to play something, I guess that would be it. But I think I'm going to save my scratch on this.
You should. You got scratch later in the card. But, you know, it's just one of my theories that, you know, they sometimes put these fights out there to get a finish early. You know, small cage, back, limited crowd. I think they go out there and just start swinging and somebody goes down. And more likely than not, I think it's Eduardo, the 43-year-old, that goes down.
I could totally see that. And hey, man, I'm hoping you kick off the card with a, you know, even if it's a little play, let's get it flowing. Yeah, hell yeah. So, I mean, as far as the next fight goes.
I feel like Ricky Bobby with an interview. I don't know what to do with my hands right now going live.
Yeah, so I mean, pretty straightforward. So I mean, we head to our next fight here. We got Shauna Young versus Stephanie Egger, and I mean, I don't have any like super strong feelings, but I will say, like, watching the Macy Chasson tape versus Shauna Young, like, she could throw up some head kicks, so I wouldn't put anything off the table there.
No, you really can't. For me, I didn't really have too strong of a play on this fight, but I did feel it was kind of dog or pass. I really didn't like how Egger looked at weigh-ins, for whatever that's worth. She looked shaky. She looked incompetent. She looked really unhappy to be there. She looked miserable, honestly. So, you know, I don't know if that's maybe her personality or like, if that's her face. Like, you know, I mean, people, I didn't like how she looked. So I don't necessarily have a you know, that I want to play a unit on this or anything, but if I had to, that is where I think I'm leaning at the moment.
All right. Yeah. You know what? That's not a bad idea. And, you know, to my point, if you're looking at a winning method here, Shauna Young by knockout is plus 800. She landed like five head kicks on the, you know, the gigantic Macy Chasson. I think she could do that against Egger. It's just a question of, does Egger, you know, get to the grappling, and submission is plus 600 for her. So if you're going to play either side, those would be the two props I'm looking at.
She didn't miss weight, did Egger?
I just think, you know, she just didn't look like fantastic, I guess you'd say. But
I know a few people on this card did miss weight, so I want to make sure we highlight that, because we are doing a rare show that we are after weigh-ins.
Yes.
So I want to make sure that we highlight what we saw on weigh-ins, because otherwise we would be doing everybody a disservice.
I completely agree. So, yeah, I totally agree. And you know what? I think, you know, if we're going to do anything on that one, we'll keep it light. But I think we have a little something solid coming up here on the next card. We got Douglas Silva de Andrade versus Gaetano Pirello. And, yeah, I see Andrade sitting there. You know, his money line, it's certainly parlayable. I mean, minus 265. He's dropping back down to 135 after two fights at 145. His last against Lerone Murphy. And, you know, he put up a solid enough performance.
I thought so. There was a point where you pointed out while we were watching tape together, but it's something I noticed as well, that he was able to get Lerone Murphy's back there for a minute, right? Mm-hmm. And then like maybe round two. I mean, he wasn't able to really capitalize on it, unfortunately for him, because Lerone Murphy's such a beast. But he showed himself well, which honestly made me somewhat wonder why he wanted to drop back down. I guess other than maybe he just felt that Lerone Murphy was so strong, and that he wanted to go back down. And I guess at 36 years old, he feels that he can still do that.
He looked great on the scale, by the way.
Listen, he looked like a skeleton.
Yeah. I mean, that's what happens when you're that ripped. But I mean, he looked energetic enough, even for how like sucked out he was. Like, he didn't seem like he really lost much to me.
Talk about somebody that did look like absolutely not very good would be his opponent Pirello. I thought he looked absolutely exhausted. I don't think LT Gray is gonna have much in the way of muscle hamster here. And you know, I don't even think that sometimes I think, you know, he got his debut against Ricky Simone. I don't even think that was like a, sometimes they give these guys a compliment. I don't think it was a compliment. I think he just did a favor. Hmm. Like, the guys he beat to get into the UFC were 6-4 and 7-5. Before that, he had a loss. And then before that, he beat a guy that was 12-12. Hmm. And a guy that's 5-1. Like, this guy has beaten Kansas City, and I don't think that he's actually very good at all. From whatever little the European beatdown fights were on YouTube, so whatever I was able to watch of that, like, I was not impressed.
No, and Andrade does have a little bit of grappling, like we were talking about. It's not quite a full takedown, but you know, he does at least shoot for some, you know, over a pretty extended sample size. And the guys that he's fought, I mean, Peter Yan, Marlon Vera, Rob Font,
I was about to
Penan Barao, Lerone Murphy. I mean, this is a huge step down.
In the division, he has a win over Chito Vera. I mean, come on. And he, like, fought Jan. Like, that helped Jan get his ascension, obviously.
I mean, Murphy only outlanded him by 9 strikes, as you can see. I mean, that's really not bad. And you see that De Silva is going to have a 3-inch reach advantage as well. I definitely like him here as a parlay piece to another one later.
I really do, because as much as, of course, anybody is subject to shit in the pie, I don't, the more you look into it, it's really hard to think that it's going to be Douglas de Andrade.
Yeah. I hate to be too narrative based, but I mean, Andrade by finish plus 150.
I mean, is that narrative based? Because the guy has,
it's tape based, right?
I mean, is it? He's got his last finish win was in 2016 at UFC Fight Night 98 against Henry Barones.
But we also talked about the competition that he's faced since then, why he might not have been able to get a finish.
Right, but it's still 5 years since he's finished somebody at the professional level.
So that's a very fair point.
So could they be giving him one? Maybe. But I mean, listen, it's anything could be worth a stab, right? But
it could be.
Perello, he's been finished before by submission, it seems like, a bunch. He's been submitted 4 times and knocked out once. So
yeah, overall, I am definitely going to just stick to either parlaying him. Yeah, I'm not going to do the prop there. You're right. I'm going to stay off that. Let's stick to the parlay piece. That sounds best to me.
I agree with that.
Yeah, so I mean, let's get on to the next fight here. We got Devontae Smith versus Jamie Mullarkey. And if you guys are familiar with our new format on the show here, let me just get ready, because I think we got something coming.
Because, yeah,
bring it up. It's the dog of the day.
It's the dog of the day.
So
you tell him, Skeeter.
Looking into, you know, originally just going down on, you know, just scouting the paper, looking at who Jamie Mullarkey has faced in the past, I was like, you know what, is he getting some extra shine off of beating Kama Worthy with a knockout? And, you know, that same guy actually beat Devontae Smith with a knockout. And it's like, okay, you know, I can see why this line is nice and close. And I'm like, damn, like Devontae Smith, he's such a good prospect, all that. And then I start watching the tape, and Jamie Mullarkey, I mean, he drops Brad Riddell with a counter hook. He's able to knock out Kama Worthy with a counter hook. We got the Dr. Phil in the house over there. Look at that. Dr. Phil in the house. Indecent and everything.
Oh, he's just joining us. He heard it was dog of the day. So
yeah, so the cat's got to join, you know?
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, listen, Mullarkey has shown against high-level competition that he's very competitive, and he has a very high-level grappling skill set with good output. And, you know, he seems to gas a little bit sometimes, but I got to tell you, it looks like he had a really good weight cut. He showed up great, and he's going to hold a 3-inch height advantage while he's given up 2 inches of reach. I do think that's going to help him with the grappling, and I do like to take Mullarkey here just straight up.
I'd like to take a moment to do some casual MMA math.
Okay. Right?
So if Mullarkey knocked out Kama Worthy, and Kama Worthy knocked out what's his name? I keep thinking his name is Devontae Smith. Is that his name?
Yes.
Yes. Well, I keep thinking he's the football player. I'm like, don't call him the football player. But it's the same name, right?
The different spelling.
Right. But it's the same name.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, right? So to do the MMA math?
True.
Is that how that works?
I guess so. But
I don't know that he's going to knock him out, right? We just like Mullarkey in general.
I like Mullarkey plus 130, but I mean, we've seen Smith get hurt in more than one occasion, even more than just the Kama Worthy fight on tape. So plus 350 for a Mullarkey knockout, or if you just want to say like an inside the distance for him, you know, fight to go the distance, no, is minus 200. But everyone's saying like, you know, if you're going to take Mullarkey, that would be by decision. I mean, I could see him really grinding Smith out if it gets to the mat. And if not, I could see him landing some stuff on counters.
I honestly do think that the longer this fight goes, the more it favors Jamie Mullarkey. And I tend to feel that if it's an early finish, it's going to be Devontae Smith with the touchdown. I mean, knockout.
Yeah, but I mean, I could see a late finish. I mean, a plus 275 for any knockout, submission, or DQ for Mullarkey. But I'm just going to play plus 130, dog of the day, baby. Is there more to say?
No, definitely not.
Hell no. So simple as that. I mean, fade the hype. Fade the narrative, Jamie Mullarkey.
Fade everything.
Fade everything. Talking about fading the narrative, we got Betch Kahaya in her send-off fight. This is very reminiscent of me to Marion Renault versus, the one and only Misha Tate. Now, Caro Rosa, someone that they're really trying to build up as a prospect, she's got a 3-inch reach advantage, and she's also got a 3.5 strikes landed per minute advantage. 8% more accurate. I mean, her defense isn't great, Caro Rosa, so that makes me pause a little bit, because it's not like Kohea hasn't been in there with some killers. But like Rosa, if she doesn't feel comfortable, she lands 2 takedowns per 15 at a 60% clip, and her takedown defense is 90%. I think she could win this fight anywhere it goes. And not only that, I don't think Kaheya, who comes in overweight, you know, she misses the mark. So what does that say about her training camp? You know, she knows she's retiring. Yeah. Like Carol Rosa, man. And while I want to just say, like, Carol Rosa inside the distance, you get a solid price on it, a really solid price, because for a minus 590, this is someone that's gone the distance in every one of their UFC fights. So Carol Rosa by knockout plus 400, I'd be more likely to take Carol Rosa inside the distance at plus 275, or like I already did, fight ends inside the distance at plus 200.
Yeah, this is a stay away fight for me. I don't really want a piece of it personally. But I do like your handicap of it. And if I was going to play anything, I would play the plus 275 for Carol Rosa. Hosa.
Totally makes sense. I mean, the over 2.5 is minus 315. You're telling me that some parlays aren't going to get busted by that this week? Fade the narrative. Inside the distance.
I think that's a good narrative fade because with that pace and pressure that Hosa is going to put on, I think that she's going to take it personally, that Betch missed weight. And I think that Betch, if you put the pressure on her, that she's going to fold. Like, she's going to wonder 10 minutes in there why she's still fighting when she knows that she's going to be on a beach in Brazil, like, tanning and like a
totally agree,
you know, doing her own thing in a minute, like she's chilling. So
yeah
I
think that's all it is there.
I mean, that
Hosa's got to win, right?
So honestly, Hosa has to win to the point where you might have to find a way to put her in the parlays, like money line. Seriously, like it doesn't give you much, but it gives you something. So if you have a – like, even if you like some football bets this week, like the Bills or something, like, if you like somebody, like, put – you should just put a little Carol Hosa in there because she will win this fight.
Like, that's a classic guru move right there. Get that plus money.
I'm serious. I'm looking at – I mean, when you look at it right now, I mean, man, there's a bunch of plays. Like, you could even put her with the who'd be the simplest one? The Rams. I like the Rams over the Cardinals this week.
Yeah.
So you could do the Rams and like Carol Hosa.
True.
And that gets you, you're getting there. You're minus 143. Yeah. So somebody not as crazy as me would probably play that straight up. Like,
fair enough.
I'd probably look for another leg, but.
All right. Well, next fight, we got Antonina Shevchenko versus Casey O'Neill. I really lean towards taking like the veteran in this spot. I've been trying to fade O'Neill like consistently, so I'm pretty biased here. That's why I'm probably going to elect to stay away, because Antonina is nowhere near, you know, obviously her sister, Valentina Shevchenko. So, you know, Antonina, she is a little taller, but she's given up reach. While she should have an advantage in the kickboxing, I just don't trust either side overall, but this line is super wide towards Casey O'Neill. Sketches me out.
That was what I took away from my tape watching. Wasn't necessarily that I could have a play, but more that if there was a play to be had, the play would have to be on the dog. As much as I have a major crush on Casey O'Neill, I just, until she beats somebody like Antonina Shevchenko, I can't trust her to beat somebody like Antonina Shevchenko. At least, again, at this price, because one thing that I've learned is that when there's a high level of unexpectancy, the number should creep closer together as opposed to getting further apart. And I feel like this number is, you know, not close enough together to where, because this fight is really going to go one of two ways, and we don't really know which. It's either Casey O'Neill is going to be able to get this fight to the ground, and she's going to drown Antonina Shevchenko, or Antonina is going to be able to keep it standing and punish Casey O'Neill, you know, over some time. So,
yeah, I don't see either side too clearly at this point. And I really think that Shevchenko is like in one of those back against the wall spots and like against the prospect status. So, this is another spot I would try to fade O'Neill, but, you know, I am very biased on this spot, so I will admit that.
And I know she's like back against the wall in some respects, but like, we don't think that Dana White's gonna cut her, do we?
Because that's a champ sister like that.
I think more like on the retirement side of things. She's a pilot. She likes flying planes and shit. You know what I mean? Like,
is that how
she's 36? She's older. You know, it's and O'Neill is 23. That's another one of those things. Like, such a big age gap. But I don't think Shevchenko's like physically shot. I just think like she never fully developed in the same way.
No, she doesn't have the same killer instinct as her sister. Right. But rarely anybody does.
Right. But hey, pretty simple. So on to our next fight, huh?
Yeah.
We got Joe Selecki versus Jared Gordon. You know, originally I thought Selecki would roll here from like first glance.
That's what I thought too, but that's square. It was a square thought.
Yeah, I don't like the way.
He's still white, by the way.
Yeah, no, I wasn't superbly impressed. And I just think that Gordon is such a veteran that I can't trust Selecki, you know, to physically dominate the same way he did against Jim Miller. And I can't, or like Matt Wyman, who he couldn't even finish.
Exactly.
That didn't stand out well to me. I know the Hubbard sub was nice, but like
both of those guys are savvy veterans, but Jared Gordon's a savvy veteran with a little bit more pep in his step than Jim Miller and Matt Wyman. He probably has the pep in his step of Jim Miller and Matt Wyman combined. I mean, Jared Gordon is a scrapper and he has, you know, been through some wars and taken some damage, which is, you know, probably the most unfortunate thing for him. But you know, he's come out of it a better fighter. So we do have to worry about his durability, but I think a fighter like Joe Selecki is not really going to test him too much on the feet. Like, right. We're expecting Gordon to have the advantage on the feet. No.
Well, see, I think that Selecki is solid in that, you know, he at least is comfortable throwing combos and walking forward. I just don't like how he keeps his chin up. And I don't think he throws like real instinctual combos. It's more just like what he's been repping on the pads, and like right. He just walks forward into stuff, and I could see Gordon winning by finish. I could see Gordon winning by decision. I could see Selecki winning by finish. I could see Selecki winning by decision. Like, there's so many. I could see this fight playing out so many ways, but I ultimately just come back to Gordon's you know, veteran instinct, and I really do think Gordon could get a finish, but I just don't think Selecki's chin is like it is that shot where it's going to be an issue because his grappling is so good to save himself and stall. So you're probably right about that.
So Joe Selecki only has one KO in his entire professional career. He has 7 wins by submission, whereas Jared Gordon has never been submitted his entire pro career. I was certainly thinking more than anything that if this fight hits the ground, I don't know who's going to have the advantage. I assume it's going to be Joe Selecki, but I know for a fact Jared Gordon will not feel like a fish out of water down there. Like, he will be comfortable enough to play the jiu-jitsu game, the wrestling game with him. So I don't see a finish coming. Really, if Joe Selecki gets a finish and it's by KO, I really like Jared Gordon as a person. He should probably hang him up because that would be your brain is turning off. Like, that's not
this guy does not have this
and it's not going to be by submission. I'm telling you that now. I really don't think so.
I don't think so either. You're right. So, I think they're both so experienced in their defensive grappling.
So I'm going back to my original chalky play. I like this. And it's not even that chalky. Like, will the fight go the distance? Yes, minus 180. Like, that's not even that terrible. Like, I do think this fight goes the distance. Jared Gordon's last two fights have gone the distance. Two of the last three for Joe Selecki have gone the distance. 3 of the last 5 for Joe Selecki have gone the distance. 3 of the last 4 for Jared Gordon have gone the distance. Give me the distance. Give it to me.
Yeah, that's fair.
And it's not even, it is kind of the narrative, but it's like not the hardcore narrative. The line's not minus 350. It's not it's not minus 280. It's minus 180. I think they're giving some credit to what I'm to Gordon's chin, but like, you want to give Gordon some credit, whether it's the weight cut, whether it's the you know, getting older, maybe changing his life around a little bit.
you know, whatever it might be. But I mean, getting knocked out by Charles Oliveira is, you can't really knock that.
Yeah.
Well, one of them's a doctor stoppage in CFFC, if that helps. So.
Yeah, I see your point. I'm just gonna stay away from this fight myself because I just don't have a strong feeling on it.
Yeah, I'm gonna parlay that with what was one of our parlay police. I'm gonna parlay that with
Andrade
Muscle Hamster. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do that. What does that come out to? That comes out to. I love it. That's a perfect parlay for me. That's plus 115. You're gonna lock that in for two units. I like that.
All right. So Selecki and Gordon to go the distance. And then Douglas Silva, DeAndrage, money line.
Yeah, that's a two-unit play for me personally.
Okay. All right, that's pretty solid. So on to our next fight here. We got Alexander Hernandez versus Mike Breeden coming in on short notice and missing weight, huh?
Yeah.
It doesn't bode well. And
I don't, but I looked through his career from anything that I saw. He's never missed weight before, so you have
What is it? Less than a week notice?
Is it less than a week notice? Who was he supposed to fight? He was supposed to fight Leonardo Santos.
Yeah.
That's a weird fight.
Listen, Hernandez should roll here.
They're giving him the chance to roll. One of the plays that I've found to try to handicap this fight because the line has just gotten completely out of hand at minus 590. Which, even still, I don't want to disrespect Mike Breeden, but I think this is similar to the Carol Hosa situation where just like he's gonna win.
So, what's your play?
My play that I found, hopefully, you have a book that offers this. Of course, you know, anything can happen, but
right.
The play. Is Alex Hernandez round one or two, plus 125. So boom. He's got to get a finish within those two rounds.
I think that's fair.
I think he does.
You're not relying on just the first round, and it should happen. He finished Beneil Dariush. I know that could be called an anomaly and all that, but it is on his resume, and Hernandez has a certain pedigree. So I'll just leave it at that. I think it's time for the next fight. I mean, plus 125. That's a great play for a minus 590 type of line. So now we got a middleweight fight for Misha Sirkunov dropping down from light heavyweight, 20 pounds dropping down to fight Krzysztof Jocko.
And you'd have to wonder that is his chin issues going to be able to disappear with the weight cut? Obviously, you know, some may say that the weight cut could cause more chin issues. Or he could be dealing with a lot less power with the 205ers, and that could help.
Yeah, I tend to say that, you know, Misha should have more success with his grappling at the lower weight class because he is still going to carry over some of that strength. When he took off that mask, though, he did look pretty emaciated in the face. And, like, yeah. I am worried about, like, if Jocko lands, like, it doesn't take much to hurt Sirkunov, and Jocko's I can't trust his chin.
Jocko's another guy. Jocko has not had a finish in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He hasn't had a finish in 9 fights since 2016. He knocked out Tandon McCrory.
All right. So, I mean, for me, realistically, Jocko by knockout is plus 185. I mean, decision is plus 250. If he's going to beat Misha, I know Misha is like all finishes and everything, but like, watch this fight go to decision just to fade the narrative, 100%. Right?
No, absolutely.
So just the fight to go to distance.
I don't see it. Like, and again, this is another thing. I hate to be super hyperbolic, but if Sirkunov makes his cut, dedicates his life and his time to this, and then gets knocked out by a guy that hasn't knocked out anybody in 9 fights, hang him up, dude. Like, you may be 34, but your miles are gone, your tread, like whatever it is, like you get knocked out here, you need to go get a brain scan. Like it's not good.
Yeah. So, I mean, that it's pretty straightforward. I mean, honestly, fight to go the distance plus 150.
That's plus money.
Yeah. Kind of interesting because Misha's all finishes all
right.
over. So,
all over, right.
I mean, but that's the thing. Like we always talk about fading the narrative. I mean, this isn't a big play for me, but like, oh my God, anything. But
he hasn't had a fight go the distance since 2011. How is that even possible? How is that possible?
Yeah. I mean, you want to talk about funny, like fight to end in first 60 seconds. Cause we're talking about Misha Cirkunov plus 1,000. I'm just going to stay away. I'm not betting this fight.
Wait, what was the play?
Fight to end in the first 60 seconds, plus 1,000. But like, dude, yeah, nah, I'm not playing this fight. Yeah.
Like blindly put $10.
Nah, you know what? Let's go to a fight that I have a better feeling on.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, why even the waste of time? That was my Alex Cowboy Oliveira versus Nico Price. This is going to be a fucking fight. And
this was my favorite fight. Possibly the night. But.
Man, they match up well. The face off was pretty fun. I just think like Nico, like Cowboy, if he can dictate the pace and like he can initiate his grappling and he can be the more physical fighter, I feel like, you know, he's happy when he can do that. However, we've seen recently, and I'm not saying Nico Price has been great recently.
Not at all.
But he's faced definitely higher level competition in that time span.
Much higher.
And then Oliveira, I just seen him quit on too many occasions. Nico's going to come forward. I trust Nico moneyline.
I really like Nico here as well. Nico's probably my best bet of the week, knock on wood here. I think that Nico's a savage. I think that the UFC really loves Nico and what he's doing for them. He always puts on a show. He'll fight anybody they ask him to. He doesn't pull out.
Up to minus 190, by the way. The line just keeps sliding.
Yeah, and, you know, what you said is perfect. That, I mean, what we saw from Alex Oliveira against Randy Brown and against Rakhmonov, you know, the days of him beating Carlos Condit and Tim Means are long behind us.
Can I be honest with you though? Now I like just popped into my head. Nico Price didn't knock out Cowboy. I know that like he's like his idol, right? But like that was,
it was a draw.
Yeah, but like, dude, why did knock Cowboy out? What are you doing? So like, wow, hold on, wait. I mean, okay, so Nico by knockout is now moved to – or any knockout submission or whatever is plus 110 now.
Plus 120 on FanDuel.
Yeah, it keeps on moving. And damn, is that – that's a fucking narrative. But you know what? Sometimes the narrative just pulls through.
I'm not really sure. What do you mean? What was really the line before that you were saying that it's moving? You saw it at like plus 160 earlier or something?
Yeah, well, Nico was like minus 140. Earlier in the week when I was looking.
He really?
Yeah, so it just keeps on sliding. So I'm curious what ends up happening as we get like,
listen, you know, to the fights tomorrow. Sometimes the public is just right.
Yeah. That's kind of just what I feel here. Like it and I really do like Nico, and I'll just leave it at that. I like him as a parlay piece with Andrade. I don't have like a 5-unit play this week, but like that's my best money line parlay, I think.
Nico is definitely going to be a part of my strongest play. I also have a separate. I would like to. I'm gonna have a separate bet on Nico by finish as well. I think he can get the job done. Maybe just a little flyer sprinkle there. But right. I think Nico's gonna win.
Well, I got Nico and Andrade money lines plus 110.
Oh, you played them both earlier in the week.
No. I'm saying right now, parlay Nico Price and Douglas Silva de Andrade plus 110. So that's like, I'm going to be putting, that's like 2 units for me. I'm not putting a 5-unit parlay this week. I just don't feel that good. There's no Andrade and Volkanovski play.
I may play that one as well.
So yeah, Nico. Yeah, there you go. So if you want to know,
I may change that first parlay I had from a 2-unit to a 1-unit and then put 1 unit on each. Cause then so I'll
play of the day. There you go.
Still
right?
Have 2 units on them.
Play of the day.
I like all that. That sounds
because
good.
Honestly, because now that you know what our play of the day is, as we head on to the next fight, God, I am getting so sketched out by Kevin Holland versus Kyle Daukaus.
Kevin Holland is, we haven't talked about this enough, at least you and I know as much as we handicapped this fight. We stopped talking about Kevin Holland's elite striking offense. Why? It was the narrative going into the Brunson fight that he literally had elite striking numbers. Why can't we talk about those again?
All right, so here we go. Let's actually take a look because we saw – this is where bringing up UFC stats is going to be fun. So this is what we do when we're looking. So, like, you see Holland overall is 54% accuracy and 56% defense. it was much better before. So Holland versus Brunson, when you just look at the distance striking, because obviously the ground, that's where Brunson is just able to ride him out and land a ton of, you know, just strikes without, you know, any real defense. But from distance, Brunson's 14 of 43. That's like barely 30%. Right. And then Kevin Holland's 29 of 64. So he's outlanding his opponent from distance, a wrestler, you know, where he's, you know, they did spend, you know, 18 minutes in control that fight. So it's not like it ended up too much from distance. But then you go and look at the Vettori fight. And he gives up 11 takedowns. But when you look at them from distance, Vittori's 15 of 43. And Holland is 31 of 85. So just, you know, his efficiency did go down. I think he was a little bit more defensive after the Brunson drubbing. But, it's elite.
He's just swinging for the fences, though, too, trying to defend, trying to keep the takedown onslaught from coming. Stay away. I'm going to keep hitting you. But, you know, I just – Kyle Daukaus – they're not trying to hype up Kyle Daukaus here, would probably be my simplest. They're not going to use Kevin Holland's name to build up Kyle Daukaus. I don't think it really does.
No. I mean, Kevin Holland needs to win, right?
This is a spot for Kevin Holland to roll. He should roll. There was a point in time where Kevin Holland was murking fools. Like Charlie Ontiveros, Joaquin Buckley, Fluffy Hernandez.
But listen, all those names. So he goes up and he faces Brunson Vettori. That's too much. Daukaus is like right in the middle.
John Phillips, too. He also finished. Who's a beast? Yeah. Listen, I don't know, man. He took on the main event there tonight on short notice and showed his heart. That's kind of how he got the respect of Dana White. And since then, he's kind of been on Dana White's balls. And, you know, and listen, if you get the chance to be close to Dana White, I mean, I'd probably be the type of guy to kiss his ass, too. I think Dana's pretty cool, even if he can be a scumbag. But I think he's pretty cool. But listen, he knocked out my idol, one of my favorite fighters, Jacare Souza. It doesn't count for nothing. Nobody's disposed of Jacare like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, I do think Holland should roll. I just don't feel comfortable. Minus 165. It just feels so sketchy to me in this spot. And like, I want to see him win. I want to see him do well. But like, I don't feel comfortable playing him for a knockout when you listen to some of the names that he knocked out. I mean, not as impressive.
What's Daukaus by submission?
Daukaus by sub plus 700.
Yeah, you might have to take a stab on that. I mean, how many Darce chokes does this dude have on his record? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 Darce chokes and 3 rear naked chokes. Yeah. So look for.
Oh, so is that a greasy submission prop of the week? I mean,
I'm not going to play it, but.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm going to feel like an idiot if he gets it.
Nico Price plus 1,200 before also. That could be interesting. As far as greasy submission.
Wait.
Nico Price plus 1,200, no, greasy submission prop of the week.
Wacky and waving inflatable arm flailing tube man. Wacky and waving. Oh, never mind. Anyway, no, I did plus 1,200. Please make sure I remember to play that. Holy shit, the fights are tomorrow, today.
Wow. So, let's get to the main event, dude, because the people have been here, they've been waiting, and I think they're ready for our pick. Because Thiago Santos for Johnny Walker, man, it's going to be worth the free price of admission on ESPN Plus or wherever this is showing. I mean,
ESPN Plus, so you better be. $5
a month. All right. I'm sorry. Oh, no, they increased the price. You better be careful. Yeah, they I don't know. They're always jacking off or jacking the price up or whatever it is. But
I love this South Park one. He just like takes the thing down on his shirt. Ooh, I'm sorry.
So, Thiago Santos minus 150, Johnny Walker plus 130. I mean, what ultimately are we doing here?
I'm watching this fight with my eyes wide open because I don't think it's going to last very long. And I think somebody's going to get the finish. I think if you're feeling really crazy, you can just take, will the fight go the distance? No, minus 480. Use it as a parlay piece. Like we've talked about. It's not happening, bro. They're going to swing. Somebody's going to, it's like somebody has to go down at some point. They are both too big in that tiny little octagon to 25 feet to survive
for 25 minutes. It is not happening.
Nope.
So that's one way to get out of here. One of my favorite bets, hopefully your book offers this, is the fight to start props. Which round? I like the fight not to start round four. -240. You know, kind of cut some of that value out. So sometime within the first 15 minutes, I'm guessing somebody goes to sleep. And I would be comfortable parlaying that to Nico, and I would also parlay that to Muscle Hamster.
Andraj.
Yeah, okay. Andraj.
All right. So I'm not sure if that's an official nickname of his or not. I really don't know. So
Doug Martin used to be Muscle Hamster.
Fair enough. Well, here's my other thing is like Thiago Santos and Johnny Walker gives me Anthony Smith versus Ryan Spann feels. I just think Santos has faced such better competition. He really hasn't had that big of a fall off physically. We saw him throw and receive a ton of leg kicks against Alexander Rakic and survive it and win the third round handily.
He did win that third round pretty
and
well.
Honestly, the first round was a lot closer than like I remembered on rewatch. Like I think one judge, you know, thought about giving it.
He was just outpaced.
And you know what? And I think he got more comfortable. But the Santos I'm seeing is not the same one from the Jimmy Manoa fights. He's fighting much more cautious and much more under control. And Johnny Walker is not proven to have a great chin. However, he has a big reach advantage. And I think after being knocked out and smother grappled and shit like that the past few fights, I do think Johnny Walker might be a little bit more hesitant to get engaged with a guy like Santos. So Thiago Santos and over 1.5. +215, that's a one unit play for me.
That's on DraftKings, right?
DraftKings, yep.
So it's Santos and over 1.5, huh?
+215. So
that's really not a bad.
So we got an interesting comment here. Gonna pull it up here. We got Bruce Bob Trotter. If you lose your bet, you have to get Santos's Thor hammer tattooed on your face from forehead down to chin. How about that? Probably not gonna do that, but
probably
appreciate
not.
You being here.
Thank
Good
you,
stuff,
Barry.
Right?
Tattooed on my face. I don't have any tattoos.
Yeah, no. Nah, I mean, neither do I. Maybe we get Thor's hammer if he wins the bet for us. Nat.
Dude, wait. This line has drifted. Thiago Santos and just over half a round at -120.
Yeah, that's solid. That's solid as hell, too. I mean, if you want to take less of a risk. Oh, yeah. You know, so. That's basically it. Bruce Bob Trotter, you know, he's telling us to grow some balls. It's fine.
Oh my god!
Come on, bro. We're not getting a tattoo. You can chill. But
where are your tattoos, Barry?
Yeah, exactly. So, anywho, I mean, I think that kind of wraps it up because honestly, there's our best plays. And if you guys want to check out where we came on our consensus plays together, make sure you check out our link tree to get to our Bet MMA page where you can find all of our track plays from the past few events, because we wanted to make sure you guys can see, like, we're putting them in ahead of time before the event. It locks. And hey, we're back in the positive after last week, baby.
Yeah, yes, we are. And if you guys have any questions, feel free to hit us up on our various social media platforms. We're always happy to answer those.
Yeah. No, and thanks so much for joining us, guys. Don't forget to give us a like and a subscribe. We'd love to have you back, even Bruce or Barry or whatever it is. You can come back too, my friend.
Yeah, anybody's welcome.
Yeah.
Listen, hopefully you join us all back next week, even Barry, for UFC Fight Night, Rodriguez versus Dern next week. That's going to be a doozy.
And, we'll be trying to book ourselves a special guest, so stay tuned for that.
At least it's better than the week after, which is going to be Holm versus Dumont, I guess. How are they giving Dumont main event?
I don't know. That's interesting, huh?
Is that going to be five rounds?
Oy. Yeah, so stay tuned for that, I guess. Thanks for joining us, guys. Oy. Take care.